Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motor Studio momentarily. Toll-free line open. Lenape Solar Hotline, all of our guests and callers, brought to you by the Lenape Solar Hotline. Visit LenapeSolar.com for details on how you might be able to not only save some money, but maybe get some money back as well with solar. 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, the number to call. Lots to talk about again today with more heroics in the pool, if you want to use that term. From a sports side of sports heroics in the pool. We'll also talk about more players leaving Penn State. This time it is Anthony Farrow, the kicker for the Penn State Nittany Lions, that will be playing elsewhere. Steve will update us on that and get us caught up on everything that's been going on there. Major League Baseball now with free agency, for the most part, done, getting back into the swing of things. Phillies, though, doing well, surprisingly enough. After all the moves the Phils made and all the adjustments the Phils made, they actually have won a couple of games against Washington now. They'll play a game later on tonight. Cole Hamels on the mound for the Phillies. Going on as we speak, Cincinnati taking on San Diego. Cincinnati up 8-4. That game in the top of the eighth inning. That's the only game in the afternoon in Major League Baseball at this point. Couple of games coming up later on tonight, as this is a mix of baseball and getaway all at the same time, and travel day, I should say, all at the same time. Yankees with a 6.5 game lead over Baltimore and Tampa in the American League East, looking to try and extend that lead a little bit later on as they take on Seattle. That game will actually be tomorrow night against Seattle at 7:05, and a win against Baltimore last night by a 12-3 score, so that helped extend their lead over the Orioles. White Sox with a 2.5 game lead in the AL Central, followed by the Rangers leading the Angels 4-0. I think I might have said the Angels in the AL Central. Chicago leading Detroit by 2.5 in the AL Central. Texas leading the Angels by 4 in the West. And in the National League, even though they've lost 2 in a row, Washington still holding a 2.5 game lead over Atlanta. The Mets have fallen now to 11 games back. Miami at 13.5 and Philadelphia at 14.5. Cincinnati leading the way in the Central. Pittsburgh just 3 games back of them. And in the West, it's San Francisco by a game over the Dodgers. And at this very moment, the wild card would look to be Pittsburgh. And the other wild card would appear to be Atlanta at this point. So that's how things look in the National League and the American League. The wild card would appear to be the Angels, and it would Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Detroit would fight it out for another wild card position. So that catches you up on Major League Baseball throughout. And as we said, a couple of Penn State players will be leaving Penn State football and heading somewhere else. We'll talk more about that in a few. Give you details on Anthony Farrow's departure from Penn State. Silas Redd, of course, transferring to USC. We talked about that a little bit more yesterday. And if you have any questions, Steve will be here to answer them for you toll-free. 1-800-795-9565. That's the Lenape Solar Hotline, 1-800-795-9565. Rebecca Soni, the swimmer, wins a gold medal in world record time in the 200. We'll talk more about the latest Olympic news in just a few minutes. We'll also have Phelps and Lochte in the pool battling it out later on tonight. I told you about Rebecca Soni's win. It was in the 200-meter backstroke after having a big win, a big race yesterday in the semifinals, where she broke the record, ended up breaking that record again. And as we said, in the pool, probably sometime in the next half an hour or so, will be Phelps and Lochte, and we'll tell you more about that. The women on the gymnastics floor tonight, or this afternoon, I should say, our time, tonight in England and in London, and the U.S. having a little bit to be happy about there. Have a medal there in the women's all-around, one medal, actually, of the two. And a little bit, I don't want to say controversy, but a heartbreak as one of the gymnasts finishes fourth in a tiebreaker. We'll talk more about that. Tyler Clary of the U.S. winning gold in the 200 backstroke. Ryan Lochte got the bronze in the 200 backstroke. That just coming in, so we'll have more updates on that a little bit later on. Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve, as I said, will be in the Sunbury Motors studio. You'll find Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll have more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back, and today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. And when you call him today, you tell him Steve Jones said happy birthday. Happy birthday, Rick. All right. One of the true class acts out there, Rick Weibel. Thrilled to have him on board as a sponsor, as we are Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, our phone line is powered by Lenape Solar. Today, the Lenape Solar hotline at 1-800-795-9565 goes overseas. 3:35, we'll talk to Jeff Lowe, who is covering the Olympics for Dial Global. Hello, Kevin.
How are you, sir?
I fell asleep during the Olympics last night. And that happens, of course, when I did a ball game last night. I was done, got home about maybe 10 o'clock.
All right, that's understandable then.
Right? No, I got home court, and I watched probably about an hour, enjoyed a beautiful sight. And then at that point, nodded off. I woke up, and guess what I woke up to?
Field hockey.
Quad skulls.
Oh, and I missed that.
I watched it. They were in fifth place. Oh. Natalie Dell, whom we had on the show just 2 weeks ago, in the back anchoring that thing, right? And they passed two. They got the bronze medal, and they made it to the medal stand.
I've been looking for that information, and I did not find it. I was thinking it was tomorrow.
Nope. Oh, I watched it last night. I watched it last night, and I want to tell you, because she was on the show, it was made even more exciting.
Sure.
I mean, to me. I ate up every second of that, and I was glued and transfixed to it watching her take it home. Now, we'll talk to Jeff Lowe in London at 3:35.
Kelly Smith-Puzo and the women's field hockey team losing earlier today to Australia.
Yeah, Australia beat them 1-0.
I was watching that for a little bit on the NBC Live app.
Very difficult for me to do that during the day. So,
well, I was doing it it was an early morning one. It was around 7 o'clock. I caught part of the second half.
I was actually sitting in here in the Sunbury Motors studio at 7 o'clock, and I was doing Penn State Football Network promos. So,
no, I was just getting around, brushing my teeth, taking my phone with me. That's the best part, is when you can watch the Olympics that kind of mobile, I'm in heaven. Lochte and Phelps in a few minutes in the 200 IM. Now, come on. Yeah, when it comes to the swimming sports, this one, it has to be the biggest one since day one of swimming for NBC and for the Olympics. I mean, when it comes to the Americans involved, this is the highest profile one they'll have throughout the whole tournament.
Oh, it will be. And I know you'll be transfixed by it.
Well, I'm just waiting for it to start right now.
I know you are. And there'll be an all-around gold for Gabby Douglas, as she won today.
But I want to find out more about Allie's fourth-place finish. There was a tie, I understand, for third, and to use a wrestling term, they based it on criteria and ended up finishing fourth. Why can't you just give two bronze medals if there's a score, if there's a scoring tie?
You have no idea how much money she saved by finishing fourth.
Yeah, you mean on the tax issue.
Yes.
Smirkanish was talking about that a few minutes ago.
I find that one of the most bizarre stories I've ever seen.
Yeah, they do get an awarded amount of money, an honorarium, I think it's called.
Yeah, the money part's one thing, okay? All right? The money part's one thing. But you get taxed on the medal.
Yeah, I don't get that. It's not like it's a gift.
I mean, you get taxed on the medal in the medal. If that isn't one of the saddest commentaries I've heard in a long time, nothing is.
I mean, I can understand taxing the honorarium. You know, I think it's $25,000.
Oh, that's money.
But the medal itself is...
That's money from the United States Olympic Committee. No, that's taxable.
But the medal itself is the thing that I didn't quite understand. I had to actually hear that story twice and read it once to make sure I was right.
It's bizarro world. Come on. That's gouging. I mean, that's what it is.
Watching Rebecca Soni with her medal in record time. We told you yesterday she had the record in the semifinals. She broke that again today.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, and let's see. She has a gold, so that's going to cost her, what, $3,000 for that medal alone?
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations. We're really proud of you. By the way, $3,000 off your taxes. Thank
well,
you.
I think it's a little bit gauche to have Tim Geithner waiting for them when they get off the plane. I mean, I really, you know, I think that's, you know, to me, that's a little bit much. I mean, if that doesn't scream of desperation, nothing does. But yes, I know you're waiting. You're excited. Okay, big moment.
Oh, here we go. Now they're starting to come out now for the 200 individual.
Oh, great.
Medal.
Yeah. But Rebecca Soni won. And Rebecca Soni normally is not in the position of being the favorite. She didn't like being the favorite. But when you swim a world record, okay, when you swim a world record in the semifinal, they do expect you to come out and win the gold medal the next day.
Well, she was the favorite no matter what. I mean,
right. But she was a favorite. I mean, yeah. But she's never enjoyed being the favorite. And then the badminton thing, the coach quit. Now, Anthony Farah, by the way, is going to go to Texas.
Yeah, we talked about that at the lead, and I wanted to give you a chance to get into more detail with that one.
Part of it's a personal situation. I'm not going to get into whatever, but part of it's a personal situation, all right? So it's not as cut and dried as people think it is. He's a big loss because this guy completely stabilized the Penn State kicking game last year when it was so unstable at the beginning of the season. And he was able to stabilize the place kicking part. He, of course, has been a very good punter the last 2 years and outstanding on kickoffs. So you have to replace him, and he'll help Texas. There's no doubt he will help Texas. How do you replace him? Well, this is how you go about replacing him. You go about replacing him in this particular way. Sam Ficken kicked a little bit last year, so he doesn't have a lot of experience. But I can tell you when somebody who watched Sam Ficken practice every day, he is a very good kicker. I mean, I looked at him and I thought to myself, I was kind of hoping they'd redshirt him last year, but they did not. And... they did not redshirt him last year. And I wish they had, only for the reason they'd still have 4 years of eligibility. And I thought that at the time. But they did not know what Anthony's situation was going to be like and this, that, and the other things. So, I mean, that part I do get, okay? I do get that part. But he has very good range. He has 50-yard range. He's accurate. The kickoff part is blunted by the fact that you have to remember kickoffs are changing this year in college football from the 30 to the 35-yard line. That extra 5 yards makes a big difference in what we're talking about here. And Alex Butterworth has punted the last 2 years in Farrah's place. Is he the punter Farrah is? No. But is the drop-off that great? No. He kicks the ball high enough. He may be a yard and a half, 2 yards shorter than Farrah, but he kicks the ball high enough, and you don't get a lot of returns against him. And Butterworth has 2 years of eligibility remaining anyway. Ficken has 3 years of eligibility. And Evan Lewis is back to be the holder and also be a backup kicker. So you do have some flexibility there. And Rebecca Soni set the world record again today. Kevin is currently off the air because he is so enthralled and entrenched in the Phelps duel with Ryan Lochte.
I think everybody else is, too. It's been buffering for a while. Every 3 seconds, it buffers.
I'm not one of those doing it. I'll be told in a few minutes what the result was. We'll be fine. I'd like to watch it live. I'd have it on TV here right now if it were live. It's not going to be live. That's just what NBC's decided to do. I don't get it. I get it to a point, but I don't think it's... I would have to be hard-pressed to be convinced that they would not do as well financially.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people that have watched the Olympics and the last few days, and I've said to them, does it bother you? And they're like, yeah, I really can't stand that it's not live, or at least some of the things aren't live, or that they're not running this event live when it is and then tape delay later. You know, they're holding it. But I said, you're still watching it. Oh, yeah, I know what happened. I want to see how it happened. So that's the answer I get from a lot of folks.
Well, yeah. I'll be honest with you. I watched Monday night. Monday is the only time. And I saw Natalie Dell and the Quad Skulls last night. It turned out, though, I fell asleep. I probably fell asleep at like 10 after 11. I fell asleep on the couch. I was just sitting there with old man's disease. And I was really like, okay. And all of a sudden, I woke up. And when I did, I looked at the TV. I said, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 4. That's Quad. Those are Quad Skulls. So I said, wait a minute. Our girl's out there. And sure enough, she was. And they were in fifth place. And I watched the next 5-6 minutes as they went all the way through and went from fifth to third and won the bronze medal. It's thrilled. Turned the TV off, then went back to sleep. So... But that's exciting. So I know that you are right now enthralled. You are locked in. They can't jump in the pool fast enough for you. As the second Phelps-Lochte duel and the final duel between the two of the Olympics is about to take place. Kevin has scouted this for weeks. He's excited. And Penn State football practice begins on Monday morning, 8:30. It's the next step forward. The next step forward. So, that's where we are. You haven't heard from Kevin because he's completely locked in. Are you watching this on your phone?
No, I'm trying to watch it on my laptop.
On your laptop, I see. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Have they started yet?
Actually, sadly enough, I think it's over, but I'm still buffering.
Still buffering, are you? I see. Well, Sony set a world record, won the gold in the 200 breaststroke. Gabby Douglas won the gold in the all-around. So all good so far. And Rebecca Sony's had a big day. Cincinnati's winning again, by the way. The Reds lead the Padres 9-4 in the top of the ninth inning. Marty Brenneman has had to shave his head. He did a couple of commercials this morning, then shaved his head because he had told the Reds that they won 10 in a row, he'd do it. Really? Badminton coach admits player quits. IOC demands deeper investigation. Just kick him out. Nobody cares. We'll talk to Jeff Lowe in London. I know this is something that Kevin's been aching to have, a correspondent from London on the show. And we will produce. Kevin wanted a correspondent so badly on the show from London, he had me set it up. I find that interesting. News is next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back to the show. Michael Phelps has won gold today. He beat Ryan Lochte to win medal number 20. A big win for Michael Phelps at the pool in London today, beating Ryan Lochte. So that will be certainly a signature tonight. And let's go to London now. We're going to be joined by Jeff Lowe, who is covering the Olympics for Dial Global. Jeff, we've heard a lot about empty seats at some venues. Yet I look at some, they're filled to the rafters. What kind of reception are we seeing for the Olympics in London as you stand there right now?
Insane. I mean, like, just to, I had to wait in line. I mean, media, I can just go right in. For shooting, the shooting venue is packed. They have people who aren't allowed to go in until someone else leaves. It's like a, I'd say it's like a bar scene, State College. It's like one leaves, one goes in, and it's like a shooting venue, you know. So, but that's the cool thing about the Olympics is that they embrace everything because it is their country. I sat next to a gentleman from Kazakhstan at the opening ceremonies, one from Ukraine, and they embrace this, they embrace everything. It's really cool to see, and they're going to every event.
What event have you been to that has captivated you more than any other?
I mean, I've been to the opening ceremonies. I went to women's gymnastics was the one that kind of got me going a bit. There was a moment there with the vault from a girl, Michaela Maloney, which was unreal to watch. I've been to men's gymnastics. I've been to swimming. I've seen the Team USA basketball, which is actually the most boring one because they just absolutely dominate when they're on the court. But, I mean, overall, everything I've been to, there's been a moment that you just really feel it. I'm hopefully going to handball tonight, too, which is not even American, but apparently it's still a great atmosphere inside there.
And by the way, handball, team handball is a fabulous sport to watch. You really enjoy that very much. Also, you mentioned the United States men's basketball team, and they dominate everyone. Mike Krzyzewski's had one complaint about his team. He says they pass too much. When you were there, were they passing too much?
Yeah, a little bit in the first. I think, well, the first game they forced up too many shots, and I asked them after the game if that was, you know, too much. I guess that exact word, are they forcing stuff up? And he said they're a bit disjointed, and I think it's not nerves, obviously. He laughed at someone saying, is it nerves? He's like, these guys don't get nerves. And I think they're still trying to feel each other out here in London. And some said Darren Williams would start and Chris Paul started both games. I think they're still feeling each other out. And the amazing thing is they still won by 50 points. I know it's Tunisia, but still, 50 points is 50 points no matter who you play.
Has there been a sport that you've gone to that in the end it surprised you as to how much you enjoyed it?
I haven't been to too much yet that I don't already. I'm an Olympic fanatic. I know all these sports, really backwards and forwards. But shooting, I did not think I'd enjoy shooting in person, but watching skeet shooting was kind of nerve-wracking because I'm here working for Team USA. I'm trying to cover a gold medal story here. And so every time he gets up there to shoot, this gentleman, Vincent Hancock, who defended his gold medal, it was a little nerve-wracking. I mean, it was exciting, which you don't expect out of just a guy, you know, saying pull and then making a clay target blow up.
He, in fact, knocked out 148 out of 150, if I recall, didn't he?
Yeah, 148 out of 150. He broke his own Olympic record. He owns the world record of 150, so really he didn't even live up to his own standards. But he's a competitor, and he was a fun guy to talk to and really just another one of the joy athletes to be around. Like, I've met a bunch of athletes here who really are. They love competition. They love performing for their country, which is pretty special.
I want to ask you about that part of it.
I think that a lot of people watch it. There's pride when they watch it. But you're around the athletes. What sense do you get from the athletes? Not just the winning, but the fact that they're representing a country.
They care a lot. From the ones that I've seen, I think the men's basketball is a great example. These guys have no reason to be here. They have NBA. They have the NBA. LeBron James has no reason to be here. He just won an NBA title, millions of dollars. They come here and they work their butts off and they love playing in front of not just Americans here, but these other countries that are amazed by them. I talked to Missy Franklin, the U.S. swimmer, who I don't think she gets through a sentence without smiling or laughing, and she enjoys so much being here for her country. And whether she's 17 years old or, you know, someone who's up there in age, some of the shooters are up there in age, they just love competing with USA across their chest. And it's a big deal for all of them. And that is honestly something that you don't get as much on TV. It's obvious, but not as obvious as when you're right here and you really see the emotion right up in front of you.
The signature of any Olympiad, though, is the track, which is still to come. Have you noticed at venues other athletes watching other athletes compete?
Yeah, last night, beach volleyball, amazing venue in downtown London. You can see the London Eye. You see Buckingham Palace. It's in the horse parade ground. So horse guard parade. James Harden was there. Kevin Durant. So you killed Kobe Bryant was at indoor women's volleyball. LeBron James is at women's basketball. So I mean, and there's other athletes too that don't stick out quite as much. But I mean, they're going everywhere. They're interacting on Twitter with each other, and they're embracing each other as a country. And they also like seeing other athletes from other countries too. So that's another special thing to see at, you know, the various events.
Natalie Delb, whom we had on the show recently, won a bronze medal in quad sculls, which was a great moment for her. But at the same time, Penn State has influenced in other areas. And you mentioned volleyball. Krista Harmato and Megan Hodge for the women's team. Matt Anderson's been a standout for the men's team. Give us an idea of the volleyball venue and what you've seen from the Penn State athletes.
I've watched all their matches on TV. I've not actually been to Earl's Court yet. I'm scheduled to go for the final, so hopefully both teams make it. But I'll say the women were expected to be doing this right now. They had they did win 3-0 yesterday, but it was a very long, hard spot. Man, I mean, they were down 23-21. You never really
against China yesterday. Yes.
Yeah, but they've looked great. You know, they beat Brazil. The men, on the other hand, play Brazil today. The men, there was a bit of turnover from their team in Beijing, and you didn't know what to expect from them, but they have looked outstanding. And I'll tell you, if they beat Brazil, you know, tonight, or I guess today for in-state college, that is a clear sign that they can win. And Anderson and some of the other youngsters, they've done a great job of teaming up with Bree Pretty, with Clay Stanley. And then there they do have a new coach as well, because Hugh McCutcheon did go to the women's side, and that clearly has been an advantage because they look outstanding.
What are you looking forward to as this goes through? Because it seems like every day is a rush for you, but I'm sure there's still items on the menu, Jeff, that you are anxious to see.
Well, you know, I think that's the fun part about it. I have a very unique opportunity because I do work throughout the day, but I'm given points where I can go off and get into any event I wanted to get into. And tonight I have this really hard predicament of did I go to water polo for the United States? Do I go to handball? Or do I see men's basketball again? So I do want to see handball. Track cycling is something I'm very excited to see. The venue, the velodrome here, they call it the Pringle because of the shape. That's a huge venue here for England, Great Britain, Australia, all those countries. And I do want to see track. I think it might be a staple, but just to see Usain Bolt in person, see Justin Gatlin and Allyson Felix and all that, it's a cool venue. When I was there for the opening ceremonies, I want to see it again, and just to see the fastest people in the world compete. That's pretty awesome.
Is there an athlete that you have covered or been to a press conference with that sticks out to you as an incredibly intriguing personality that maybe you didn't expect?
You know, I think it's the youngsters that really stick out the most. I will say Andre Iguodala did stare at me for a few minutes when I was in the men's basketball press conference. I'm still a little uneasy about that. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But him and Coach K were great. Coach K is just a joy to talk to. But I think that the youngest people I've talked to, Missy Franklin, you didn't know what to expect from her because she is so young. She has so much pressure, and she handles things with such ease, and it's impressive. And the other two of the gymnasts, and I'll group the male gymnast, Daniel Leva, who won bronze yesterday. He's only, I believe, 20 years old. But Kyla Ross, who's 15 years old, she handled interviews with really, it was perfect. It was amazing. You know, we see athletes at Penn State who can't handle interviews that well, and she really did a great job talking about gold medal. There's a lot of drama, a lot of controversy with the U.S. women's gymnastics team, and it's impressive to see somebody handle themselves on such a big level. But I will say a journalist asked her, 15 years old, if she felt that they took Russia out back to the woodshed for a beating, and that was kind of awkward. So she handled that question perfectly. So very impressed with her poise in that situation.
I'll ask you about the international media of it, because you've been around, obviously, American media your entire life. What has it been like to be around the international media, and is there a different way that they cover it as opposed to how, quote, we would cover it?
A lot of cheering. A lot of cheering in the press box. Well, for the U.S. men's basketball team, they don't go to watch anyone but U.S. men. So I think you get a sense that it's all American media. Really, the media in the basketball games are just are other countries' media going not to write, to just cheer for the U.S. And that's cool to see. But, I mean, really, other events, the smaller countries, I mean, I can't really blame them. This is the biggest, you know, moments of their lives for their countries. And they stand up and they go crazy. And then the other thing is you get some awkward questions. Coach K gets some really strange questions, especially from the Chinese media. The Chinese media is obsessed with U.S. men's basketball, and all they want to do is talk about Beijing, and all he wants to do is not talk about Beijing. But he handles it well. It's a little frustrating at times, but you do have to, I guess, roll with it, because you understand that, you know, as an American media, we interact with people all the time. But when some of these superstars are here, this is it for some people. This is their only chance to interact with some of them. You see some of the players even asking Kobe Bryant to sign their shoe. So you have to accept it, and you laugh a little bit because it is special to see.
Jeff, thanks so much. I appreciate the time very much, and have a great time, and maybe we'll get a chance to touch base with you next week.
Yeah, anytime. I hope all is well, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Jeff. Jeff Lowe from London. Kevin C., I told you that we'd come through with an interview from London just for you.
That's great. It sounded like it was right next door.
I know it sounded next door, but Jeff was in my class this year. And it was a big thing to him to get hooked in with Dial Global Westwood One and go over and cover the Olympic Games. We were actually going to do it on Skype, and we could not. We tried the Skype connection and could not get the Skype connection to hold, and that's why we ended up doing it by phone. So, but it's great to have him on board. Jeff, if you want to talk about the guy with a young man with a great future, he really does. He was outstanding in my class, and I know this is something we talked about several times about him going over to London to cover for Westwood and Dial Global, and he was. You know, I said, why don't you come on board? He goes, hey, I have some time. I said, great. So that's what we did. We hooked him up. But, you know, I didn't, you know, obviously, we did this while you were still trying. In fact, your Phelps thing is still buffering, I believe.
I think,
right?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
I can't even watch the replay.
I mean, that's embarrassing. That's why they have it on primetime tonight. I mean, they file everything up just so you can do this. But, yeah, you won the gold today, huh? Michael Phelps
had the lead from flag to flag, as it were. Opened up with the lead at the first turn and had it for the rest of the way.
I mean, what an amazing moment for him. So no matter what happens for him to have earned an individual gold. Sebastian Coe had an interesting talk yesterday about this. And he was saying, basically, he says, well, I'm not saying Phelps is the greatest Olympian ever. He mentioned Daley Thompson winning two golds in the decathlon. Remember, Thompson had to do 10, you know, 20 individual events to get two golds. And he mentioned Jesse Owens. Now, somebody asked me about Usain Bolt, and I said, look, I said, one thing that Phelps has going for him in this argument, and it's a fun argument to have. You can't be serious when you're sitting there saying if he's the best ever or not. You can't be serious about an argument like this. This is completely subjective. It's just pure opinion. But the one thing he has going for him when you do make the argument about what he has done at the Olympic Games is the longevity of it. The fact that he won in Sydney in 2000. He won in Athens in 2004. Of course, the 8 gold medals in Beijing in 8. Now, winning again, not just in a relay, but an individual event in 2012 in London. It's the longevity of it that comes into play here that argues in his favor, that puts him in the conversation. You, of course, already on board. You are a Phelps guy. You're disappointed he couldn't go for eight this time. You thought it stunk.
Well, I'm not saying he's the best Olympian ever. I, as you said, it's a fun argument to have, but I don't know how you could ever make the decision on who, if he's the best Olympian ever. However, I do. Yeah, it's easy to say he's the most decorated, and that's a fact. That's the one thing you can say.
I mean, he's won more than anybody else. But the part that falls into the argument that does help him, all right, is the fact that he's done it over four different Olympiads.
And how many races it's taken him to get to those, because you have to get through qualifying or heat races, semifinals.
Yeah, I mean, track does too. I mean, you know,
true. That's true. That's true.
I mean, Carl Lewis, it was amazing. Sebastian Coe did not mention Carl Lewis with his nine golds. Never did. Let's see. Joe writes on Facebook at stevejones@wkok.com. Looks like the loss is going to be worse than anyone thought. Hearing Brown, Lynch, Lewis may be gone. Lewis is staying. The NCAA is going to win on these sanctions. Ron Musselman keeps giving nationwide interviews and does nothing but trash the program, says we will never be back. Look, I don't know what Justin Brown is going to do. I believe he is talking to Bill O'Brien this afternoon. And we'll find out what he wants to do then. And also Phyllis on the Steve Jones Show wall. And we'll take these one at a time. Lewis is staying. Lynch will decide by Sunday. Brown is talking to Bill O'Brien today. Fair is a personal situation above anything else. It's a loss, but a personal situation. Look, the bottom line is, whomever wants to be here, they really want to be here. So, you know, Ron Musselman and I are friends, and we've had Ron on the show before, and I like Ron. But we have a completely different opinion about this. Okay, the sanctions are designed so Penn State never comes back. Okay, they are designed that way. But why has Bill O'Brien been able to recruit head-to-head some of the athletes he's been able to recruit? He must have a message, along with his assistants, Charles London, Stan Hickson, John Strollo, Mac McWhorter, Charlie Fisher, Ted Roof, Ron Vanderlinden, Larry Johnson, and John Butler. They must have a message when they sit down with recruits that resonates with the parents and with the student-athlete about football at Penn State, student life at Penn State, academics at Penn State, your future after Penn State. And they've been recruiting in choppy water since day one. Since day one, they've been recruiting with choppy water. You lose some guys out of this deal? Okay, you lose some guys out of this deal. All right. So be it. You move forward with what you have. What you have isn't all that bad. And there are too many rumors about guys that have already committed to staying. Phyllis, am I correct in saying that Penn State players have until the spring to leave? Actually, Phyllis, you're not correct. Penn State players have until the start of training camp next year, when they start practicing, to transfer without the penalty of sitting out a year. Okay, so it goes a year from now. Again, the NCAA has done this with no regulation on the ground at all. But they have until the start of training camp next year.
So basically a year from now is what you're saying.
Yes. So Phyllis on Facebook, thank you. Joe on our email, thank you for both questions. Oh, UConn on my wall. Let's see what you did.
Well, no, this was earlier.
Let's see. Kevin wrote, I love curling. It's one of the only Olympic sports that a 41-year-old, out-of-shape guy like me can play and win an Olympic medal.
Right. Joe was talking about the most boring event being in the Olympics being curling.
Unfortunately, you would not be good at curling. Because in a conversation with your wife, sweeping is not one of your high points. All right.
I'll just roll the stone. Slide the stone, sorry.
Yeah, I see. Big Ten Network will be at Penn State on Thursday, August 21st. No, it's not Thursday. Is that Thursday? 9/16/23. Tuesday, August 21st. They will be at Penn State. I'm sure that will be exciting for them. Although I like Dave, Jerry, and Howard very, very much. So, yeah. It'll be at every camp. All right, let's take a break. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
All right, this is how it works, just so you know. Penn State can have 85 scholarships this year. All right? When they go out and recruit, and they bring in recruits in February, okay, when they have the signing class, they can sign no more than 15. But Penn State will be allowed to have still be allowed to have 85 scholarships next season and no bowl game. It'll be the second year of the bowl ban next year. Okay, but on February 6, 2013, they can only sign 15 max. Okay, then you go to the 2014 season, 65 scholarships, only 15 bowl. No bowl. 15, 65 scholarships, no bowl, only 15 allowed. But then in 2016, Penn State will be allowed to go to a bowl game, play for the Big Ten Championship, but they'll be doing so with 65 scholarships and allowed to only award 15. Then they get to 2017, again, eligible for bowl, eligible for the Big Ten Championship, so still in 2017 playing with 65 scholarships. But then when they get to the 2018 recruiting group, they can award the full boat of 25, and then in 2018, everything's back to normal. All right? So this year, 85 scholarships. Okay, you can award scholarships. Okay, next year, you can also play with 85 scholarships.